B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
I texted you and I said, I'm sorry, I probably butchered it.
No, it's amends. So here's what happened. I know how it can be when you're trying to, drive a show, whatever, and you got notes in front of you, and you also have the things you have to read for this. So it can be a little distracting. So I was a little worried that Ty and Mike maybe heard you wrong by the way they responded, because it sounded as if the way you told it, maybe the way they heard it, I was the best man giving the speech.
No, I think they knew that you weren't.
Yeah, Ty summed that up for me.
Yeah, I think I said it was your cousin or something.
It was my cousin.
Your cousin's friend.
It was, okay, so the
cousin's friend's brother's dog walker.
Andrew, Rob, have you heard this?
Yes. I heard it driving in.
The brief version of this.
Mike actually had texted me and said, what's her name?
Yeah, we're trying to get information.
Yeah.
Inquire.
This is at her wedding, right? At her wedding.
No. My cousin Tim got married.
Okay.
All right. His best man was also his brother-in-law. So essentially, my cousin Tim's best friend married his sister, my other cousin. All right? So the best man's giving the speech, and he talks. He's like, we tell each other everything, but I never told you what a freak your sister is in the sack. Wow. In a drunken 10-minute, 12-minute best man speech.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Mike said, why didn't they give him the hook?
Yeah, we were trying to yell and scream.
What was the reaction?
Someone should have tackled him.
What was the reaction?
Yeah,
what was the
reaction? Like, hey, your sister's a freak. You got to let him finish.
Crickets. No, crickets.
Really?
Yeah, crickets. Like what? Like Joe, like, for instance,
uncomfortable crickets.
Joe, when he said at the end of the speech, which was about 3 minutes after, 3-4 minutes after the "your sister's a freak" line, and he said, "Raise your glasses." Nobody raised a glass.
Yeah, wow. They're all looking for the cousin.
My one, she was gone. My one aunt started yelling for him to sit down, and whatever. That's what happened.
I was late. Wow.
Yeah. So
I was
hey,
late.
Thanks for having me.
But you were late.
I had to get the OJ.
You did.
So I was late. Goodbye, everyone.
That's the most Northeast I've heard you in a while.
But I am I'm still tired, so the accent is still fresh.
Neesty.
Thanks, y'all.
All right, well, Natalie's leaving, so there goes our Twitch audience. Thanks.
Right, cool.
That's a lovely art smock. Can I wear your art smock, Natalie?
Yes.
Thank you for getting the orange juice. I appreciate it.
I missed 10 minutes of my shift.
Are you done?
Here, Joe Stazek, let me just get your opinion. Is Gabe Kapler gone or not?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he's staying around.
Yeah, it's been way too long. It's way past bedtime on this. I think they've become a league-wide embarrassment with what they're doing here. It's just, and, Rob made the great analogy, hang on, I might need to upgrade over you, but you can still hang out and do my clothes and do my laundry and whatever and make my dinners. But I'm looking for something better. So I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what's taking so long. I don't know what he's reviewing, talking to his players. I just think they come off as amateurs, to be honest. They come off as amateurs. But I do think they're going to keep him. At this point, it's been way too long.
Way too long. Joe, thank you very much. Now, I do have to tell people to listen to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to TheBagster.com. It's been 10 years of 97.5 The Fanatic. And I remember when the station flipped over to the FM band, there was a fine promotion running, and the promotion went a little something like, sports on FM, it just sounds better. And the man that was driving that point home, the man that is the godfather of this station himself, Mr. Mike Missanelli in studio right now. Mike, what's going on?
Well, look at this, man. I'm going to get whacked on Brute in the morning here.
Roger Wilco did not disappoint.
No, it's pretty cool out there, except they get egg pizza. The world is against people who don't like eggs.
The world is prejudiced
against people who don't like eggs.
In this day and age.
You're not an egg like that.
I've never eaten eggs in my life.
I've heard
really?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. In any form?
Nope.
Wow.
Huh.
That's surprising.
Even a nice like frittata or something? Nah, nope. You're out?
In fact, my mother used to try to sneak in egg whites in a potato salad.
Oof.
Made me think it's potatoes.
Well, she wanted you to eat eggs.
And I was on to her.
Boom. You were on.
I was on to her.
At what age were you on to mom trying to sneak
five.
In? Five. There you go.
Yep.
Sniff out a BSer at the start, Mike Missanelli.
There was an anti-egg thing in me, DNA.
Now, Mike, I just have to clear.
Is this microphone all right?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, you're good.
I can't because the headphones are not right. I can't hear.
Yeah, it's only one ear.
Oh, there you go. Wait. Oh, it's a bad headphone.
Yeah.
It's just fuzzed.
The jack.
Oh, only the finest for you, Mike.
Thanks, Jamie.
We can move you during the break.
That's all right. I'm good here. I'll hear faintness.
No,
I remember that day we announced it because nobody knew what was going on. All of a sudden, I had announced that we were going FM. It was quite a day here. It was in the old studio, too. It was like, you work in this palatial studio.
Mm-hmm.
We had to work out of like a broom closet at one point. It was on the third floor.
So you didn't know that the station was flipping, or had they been talking about it for a couple of weeks?
No, it was like impromptu.
Yeah. Really?
Yes, it was all clandestine. And the day of, I got a notice that we were doing it.
And then, because I remember...
Boom.
I
remember we're going to be FM. Boom.
Flipped
we flipped
switch
over,
and it was
flipped
done.
Over switch.
Because I remember the promo running. And so how soon after that did you start running that promo of, you know, sports on FM just sounds better?
I think after we actually announced that we were going on FM.
That
was like the major announcement. We have a major announcement coming. And then all of a sudden they hand me a paper and it was like we were going FM.
And how long has it been? Because originally it was just, what, 9:50 WPEN?
It was 9:50 a.m.
A.m. And yes. Then you guys flipped over how many years later?
Two?
Yeah, I think it was 2 years.
Yeah, it was 2 years. Wow. But Tyrone wasn't here.
No,
but he's a radio history guy.
Oh, you're radio history?
No, because where the transmitter was at the time, I was working down the road from it. And it was a big deal because it was a music station. And then there was a sale and it swapped. So 97.5 music went to 94.5. And it was a big thing if you were a radio geek like me. When it was happening, it was a big deal.
Listen, man, all I knew how to do was to push the button that said on.
No, it went
9:50 behind the scenes.
No, 9:50 went to 97.5, and 97.5's music went to 94.5. And it was a very big deal. There was a lot of rap vans that used to go around playing music with 97.5 that had to get rewrapped with a 94.5. It was a big deal at the time.
Because this is radio knowledge.
Little radio knowledge. Yeah, it was like a teeny bopper top 40 station.
Yep. And it switched over. It wasn't doing what it needed to do. And I think that's why they made it, because they thought talk would be more profitable than the teeny bopper music.
But there was a lot of controversy involved in the switch over. Like behind the scenes controversy.
Really?
Yes. I don't know if I should tell this tale. Our program director at the time married to a personality, a radio personality, in this frequency that we took over.
He was put in a bad situation.
Ooh.
He knew that his wife was going to be displaced from a job and had to keep it under wraps while living with the wife.
Are they still happily?
They are.
That's a strong union.
He's happy. Was. She's never been happy.
Yeah, they don't live in the city anymore.
What?
They're in San Francisco.
Understood.
What a tough spot to be in.
Yeah. Imagine that, man. You got to keep that under wraps. Your wife is going to be eliminated from a job. Uh-huh. He knows it. She doesn't know it. It's going to come down like on like one day.
Yeah. That's
tough.
You're looking down the barrel.
I got good news and bad news.
We're on FM. You're out.
And he couldn't dare ask for sex during that whole period.
That
would have really looked bad.
So that's absolutely incredible. A little backstory there, flipping over. Those are definitely things that normally don't just
but
come
to make
out
up
into
sex,
the open.
Though, it'll be better, though. You know, once you get that out of the way, you get past that.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. And then after she gets this place from the job, how do you think she's going to react?
You took advantage of me!
Yeah.
2 weeks.
That's some of that aggression.
Are you going to do some of that in the car? Are you going to do some of that in the car on the way to the unemployment office? Let's go get that unemployment check real quick.
Get some of that. Work that out.
I never, that's bonkers. By the way, because you've heard him already, Jason Martinez in studio now, and Ty is back in studio. Mike Mussinelli here, obviously. And Natalie took over. Well, what is her mic anyway?
Hello, so yes. Just back in my regular spot.
There you go. You and Sam Wilson are the ones that man that mic right
Yes,
there.
We do.
Ty, what time did you get here today?
Me, I've been here.
Is it a return engagement for you already?
Yeah, at 7 a.m. Yeah, yeah. The bosses told me to come back with you guys, partially because we're both of the last two Mike Mussinelli producers, current and former.
Oh, there you go. Is that
the last two livings?
And over right, with the 10-year.
Had many.
I know.
We're the only last two living, though.
So that was why. And then obviously you'll be on with the midday show. So they told me to come back in for that reason.
I got to do the midday show, too?
Yeah.
I wanted to come in, do this, and then leave, then go hang out with Mikey Miss for an hour.
No, I'm sticking over and hanging out with you. Your squad.
Oh, gee, this is a big mess.
It's a two-hour lap over for me.
This is a big mess.
I didn't get any sleep last night watching that baseball game.
Oh, jeez. Clayton Kershaw, you're up for that?
Man.
That's unbalanced. That's one of the weirdest things in all
kicking balls
sports.
All over to join you. It's a slam.
You want to hear a stat that'll blow you away?
Sure.
Clayton Kershaw career after the sixth inning in games. Regular season, his career ERA 2.33. In the postseason, 12.27 ERA. Highest of all time with a minimum of 10 innings pitched.
Well, that's a dumb stat.
What do you mean?
Because, well, he didn't, because it means he melts down in the seventh inning.
Yeah, he didn't pitch six innings.
No, no, he said
after the sixth.
After the sixth, well, he's a starting pitcher.
Right.
No, no,
well,
no, yeah. No, it's not just when he's a starter, because he came in late in the Phillies game.
Yeah, he's been used a couple times in that role.
The Phillies knocked him around, too. For some reason, he's just a different guy deeper in the games, whether he starts or in relief in an emergency situation. Schilling, back when he was sane, was lights out in those situations.
Back when he was
sane. The only two guys that come in that should be starting pitchers in the postseason should be named Randy Johnson or Curt Schilling. Everybody else can't do it. Roy Oswalt tried to do it for the Phillies against the Giants some years back. Complete disaster. Yeah, same thing we're watching with Clayton Kershaw.
It's unbelievable how good this guy is in the regular season and what he becomes in the postseason.
Now, we have extra installments of Jason Mertedis today, who I know is going to be all sorts of flyered up after that win last night.
They played last night? Did you put any tweets out about it?
Oh, are you kidding me?
I may have had one.
I had the over-under 200.
Was there a nice game recap?
You had to go over, didn't you?
No, I actually sent one out, and a former employee of ours decided to plagiarize it and pass it off as his own, but I digress.
You sent out tweets like, Travis Konecny smiled.
Nah, when I'm down at the barn, I don't send that a lot because I got too much going on.
At
the barn.
Yeah, I'm up against the glass, Mikey Miss. I can't be tweeting on the glass.
I put the Flyers hat on. Was tweeting about the power play.
I saw that.
And I got Jason to, a listener got Jason to co-sign that the power play looks better so far this year. Better alignment.
Yeah, well, you changed everything. You flipped it like in reverse in the mirror.
No doubt they're a playoff team after two games.
Going to the cup.
I'm in.
You got cup crazy?
I'm cup crazy.
In all seriousness, I have them in the playoffs this year. Because I think this franchise is looking at this year as the playoffs are the Stanley Cup final. They just want to get off the schneid, if you will, of getting into the playoffs and just making sure that they can have some shot at pushing. And if Carter Hart is even better than maybe we thought, then yeah, they absolutely have a shot at that. But I actually think they do. I think they're going all in on just making the playoffs this year for the Flyers. But more importantly, the drama that's been surrounding the Philadelphia sports scene, and we're getting everybody's take on this as we go on, and we're now on what? Day 11 of Kapler Watch?
13.
Day 13 now of Kapler Watch. Now, are you going from when they're eliminated? Or from the last day of the season?
Last day. Yeah. Okay. 13, yeah.
We're still on Kapler watch. Mike, when do you see it ending?
It's not good. I really don't have any idea. I really don't. There's something that has happened that I didn't think would happen. And I think John Middleton has gotten weak-kneed. I never thought I would see this.
Really? So
I think that he is getting, he's feeling really bad about undercutting Klentak, and Klentak's been in his ear, and Klentak provides all these positive statistics that Gabe is doing a good job, and Middleton is overriding his eyeballs in deference of the general manager that he hired.
Wow.
I never thought I'd see it.
So if
he got mad enough to get rid of the hitting coach this year, something at the end, you finish 81-81, you own the team, somebody got a roll.
So you go through 2.5 weeks of basically the data being presented to you, asking questions, seeking out players to talk to them, and you ask the same question, is he the right man for the job? You have to ask that question over and over again. For this long, shouldn't you know the answer to that question is no? If you have to ask this many questions?
I think he does know the answer is no. But here's Klentak. You hire me, trust me. This is why you hire me. This is why you gave me an extension. You got to trust me. And somehow that's in the back of his brain, and he's letting him mess up.
So that's what's taken up these 2 weeks.
I believe. At first I thought it was that they wanted to have another manager in tow before they made the firing.
That's what I was thinking.
But now, as the longer it goes on, I think that he feels really bad about it. Klentak is working so hard to keep Kapler, and Middleton's going, well, I hired Klentak because I believed in him, and I gave him an extension. So like now it's messing me up. That's what I think it is.
Wow.
Well, that's what it seems like right now, because everyone's, I think, weighing in, including players that might even be the 25th man on the roster, trying to get involved in this decision.
It's the stupidest thing for an owner to go console with players, because players aren't going to bury a guy.
No, they don't have that much
clout. In baseball, nobody buries anybody. It's like, you know, they go, no, he's been all right. You know, it's like a lukewarm endorsement, and it's not going either way on either side. So he's not going to get any information from players. You got to go by feel. You got to go by the way that team finished the end of the year and look at him and go, I got to make a change. I got to bring something fresh in here. Even if I keep my other two dudes that I gave an extension to, because that would make me look ridiculous if I fired them. So one guy's got to go just to get a fresh atmosphere in there.
Now, the name that keeps on coming up now, and it seems to be gaining steam for the Phillies, is Buck Showalter. a guy I'm not exactly crazy about, but he obviously has the history with McPhail, a little bit with Klentak as well, was overseeing a big turnaround in Baltimore before they made the playoffs, had a 94-win season, yeah. I believe it was.
What's your beef with him?
I don't like him.
What's the beef? Why not?
It's 20 years in Major League Baseball, uh-huh. And he's like won 90 games three times.
He's been with a franchise in a tough division.
And he's turned it around and then been bad.
And he competed in that division against all those juggernauts.
For 2 years, yes. He competed in the 6 or 7 years.
That's almost impossible, isn't it?
Well, it's more impossible to be the Rays, for instance, and compete when you're a guy like Joe Maddon. And that's more impressive. Now, I think Joe Maddon, I think anyone would want to have. I think a guy like Mike Socia, some people would want. Dusty Baker's another name that's out there. There's a bunch of other names.
Socia's not an analytics guy, though.
No, he's not.
He's not Joe Girardi.
But the president and him got a lot of beef. So that's not going to happen.
Mm. Girardi?
No. Socia.
Socia?
Yeah, McPhail.
It's Klentak and Socia.
Because they were were out in Anaheim at the same time.
So if they don't get along, that's a non-starter, right?
Well, Middleton can force him on him. Mm-hmm. If he's strong, you got to listen to my man. I picked him. Deal with it. You know you're an 18-year-old general manager. You got a lot to learn. It's your first job, right?
Right.
All right, so I got to do what I got to do.
Well, wouldn't that be in a perfect world, though, Mike? You have analytics aren't bad. Everybody agrees that they're not bad on their own. But Gabe hasn't been great necessarily with the baseball field type stuff. How to manage a clubhouse.
Right.
Morale. How to actually chastise a guy without killing his confidence and all that kind of stuff. Wouldn't it make sense then to keep your analytics but have a guy who knows how to manage that room and combine it? Wouldn't that be the best of both worlds for the Phillies?
Well, that's why I still think Showalter would be an upgrade from Gabe Kapler. I just don't know if it'd be a drastic upgrade from Gabe Kapler. That's why there's other names out there that are a lot more attractive than that one. So would you be for the Buck Showalter?
I don't care who they pick as long as it's not him. The one thing I try to keep it simple. You can't have him back. So whoever they bring at least gives you a fresh energy. Mm-hmm. Now, it may turn out that guy's no good either. But the initial decision has to be, we need to spray this clubhouse with Febreze and get something different in here. Mm-hmm. To give... Because if you bring Kapler back, the fan base is already down on it. 99.9% of the fans don't want him back, right? So if he goes bad early, that messes your whole season. Your season is like rotten, you know, because you didn't make that move. And now you got to live with this. Now you got to change it again. You just can't do it.
Right. No, I don't hear you. Mike Missinelli in studio, obviously. Jason Martinez, Ty. We have Natalie Eganoff at the mic as well. A lot of changes. If you're the Phillies, you can easily make the argument that you have had turnover. Just because you fired your hitting coach in the season last year and you fired your pitching coach. Which, by the way, had the biggest ask of anybody in the coaching staff last year. Saying, hey, make Pivetta better. Make Vince Velasquez better. Have Jake Arrieta be healthy. I don't know how you do that. What's that?
Nick Vincent and all those guys.
Oh, my God. Yeah, all those guys.
Don't forget about Cole Irvin and that great stuff. See that guy Walker Buehler last night?
Lucky miss hit a guy that hit 2 weeks ago off a guy that had better stuff than Cole Irvin.
They took Cornelius Randolph ahead of Walker Buehler, the top college pitcher at the time.
Now, I believe that was the Ruben Amaro regime, just for the record.
Whatever it is, historically, they suck at drafting.
Never been good. Never been good.
Mike has offered. You guys don't.
I would sign up for Mike Miss as GM.
Hold on.
Over
before
this
I even
regime.
Get the GM job, I'm taking the crappy job.
See, what did you offer? So
I have offered to leave my position right here at the Fanatic.
What?
And be transported to the islands and the Latino countries for 3 years to find a Cunha. And I will mail my passport back. The Phillies can have my passport in a safe, which means I can't get back into the country. I'll stay there for 3 years. I'll eat sopas every day. And I'll scour the Latino areas for a great Latino. I don't know what tree they're picking Latinos from, but it's not the right
one. Mike, Jalen Ortiz is going to pan out any day now.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking around and everybody's got a hard-throwing Dominican in the pen and a 20-year-old Dominican superstar.
Yeah.
And the Phillies grabbed Michael Franco from that trip.
Yeah.
I'm serious about this. This is my dedication to my city's team. I'll go down there for 3 years and find it. If I don't find a Cunha, you can ship me out to some Australian
Siberia.
Have you had any response from the Phillies on this offer yet?
They have not taken me up on it.
It's ridiculous. You're a fine baseball mind.
Wow.
You know talent when you see it, and you can't BS you, man. You're the king of sniffing that out.
So you can be down with the BR bell?
I'd sign a guy who's hitting a tape ball with a broomstick. Because
what about a guy throwing the tape? What about the guy throwing the tape ball? Could use one of those as well.
It's going to be a little harder because you don't get the good velocity on the tape ball.
That's a good point.
But you can get to see somebody's pop off a broomstick.
Are they juicing the tape ball these days? Are they lessening the seams on the tape ball?
Not in
the
Dominican.
Oh, no. In the Dominican, they do it right.
Where they can find the tape.
Yeah. You'd be great in the DR.
Continue to bang our heads against the wall as far as that goes. Maybe Alec Bohm, maybe Spencer Howard of the world. Maybe those guys will help us out.
Until you get rid of the GM and the boob president, nothing matters.
Mm-hmm. Look at the teams in the playoffs. The Cardinals have at least 5 homegrown prospects that add to that team. Right?
They always do.
The Dodgers, they lost last night, but they have 5 that they've added to the team. It's amazing to me. It's almost impossible not to have more than 3 prospects in your system, and 2 of them are pitchers. You got 1 guy who's a position player who's a prospect. 1. And we don't even know about him.
Mm. No.
Look at the Braves. I know they lost, but look at all those guys.
Sure.
Freeman was homegrown, by the way, that first baseman.
Oh, yeah.
They do, because they don't want to spend a lot of money, they grow guys.
Mm. And back to Mike's point about the international players, they spent more money on Jalen Ortiz than Tatis Jr., Vlad Guerrero Jr., and Juan Soto in the same year. So they misidentified talent so bad that they paid more for him than any of those 3 other superstars.
To your point, Soto was more than 4 times cheaper.
Yes.
4 times
Fernandez
cheaper.
Tatis Jr. went for $750,000, and they gave Jalen Ortiz $4 million.
And to triple down on that point, all that's a thing of the past because Mike Misnelli is heading down to the Latin America.
I fully support that.
Latin America to find us some of them stuff.
You got nothing else going. What the hell? I might as well go down.
What do they got to lose at this point?
Sure.
Well, but Mike, it's only the 10-year anniversary of us being on the station being on the FM band.
You got to be here for the 20.
Yeah, you got to be here for 20, man.
We'll get you a line down there.
I'll take 3 years.
I'll
come back after the 3, maybe.
Well, the IS... Now, Mike said he's going to live in a hut down there. Didn't you offer to live in a hut?
A thatched hut.
So yeah, will the ISDN line work in the thatched hut?
We'll put a thing in there called a whisper room. It's like a phone booth.
I'll cut down on the furniture expenses to put the ISDN line in.
There you go.
I'll lay in hay.
I'm sure we could send our engineers down there, and they could hook it up, no problem.
The Mike Misnelli show lives on.
The music cluster to head down and...
I'll do the whole show in Spanish, though.
All right. I just get that
good herb down there, too.
I got to clear the air.
You'd be real chilled out.
I got to clear the air real quick here. Because
I can't have the air when I'm looking at players.
My
view. I got to
clear minded.
Got to clear eyes and look at players.
Well, maybe Clintac should get a nice bag of herb.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, help out.
Mike, a story was relayed to you about me that I just want to confirm that you know it wasn't about me.
What's that?
The best man speech that made the promo 2 days ago, I think it was. About his cousin being a freak.
It wasn't. You were a witness at the wedding.
I was a witness. I was there in attendance of my cousin's wedding. The best man started speaking about his wife, who was also the groom's sister.
Who's a cousin?
Right.
She's a sex freak.
We just want to make sure that we get it out there.
The way it was relayed through Natalie to you, I just want to make sure you understand that it wasn't me talking about my own cousin.
Yeah, because that would be
weird. No, I knew that.
I told you you were at a wedding.
Okay. I was just making sure that was...
Those people at the wedding know you told that story on the air?
Some do. See, they're in a different market. They're fine.
Oh, okay.
But the cousin's definitely on the internet. It doesn't change, though.
They're just... All right. Seriously. Third day of this. They're still figuring out the internet from where they're from in Maryland. So there you go. All right, coming up, we got Eagles Vikings coming up on Sunday.
She's super freaky.
I never knew like Trey when he played for the Eagles was a bit of a freak. Like, you're a freak, dude.
I am.
Where's your fedora?
Yeah, you and your pill bottle.
Whoa,
and the whole thing.
That it's a Claire Bryant fedora. Close.
See, that's not a functional fedora.
It's very functional.
That's a stylistic fedora.
That's swag, though.
It's a Fernando Bryant slant hat.
You gotta get a CCM fedora, brother.
Wait, does CCM make a fedora?
They gotta get one for Trey. Trey gets whatever he wants.
They'll just put the little press tag out the side of it that just says CCM right there.
You take that to one of those branding companies, they'll stitch it on there.
Yeah. Do you have CCM underwear?
No.
What's with the CCM?
I have a CCM base layer, it's called.
Oh.
Yeah, I wear a CCM base layer. It's what you wear under your equipment.
The underarm.
Over your drawers.
But no, you don't wear drawers when you play. Yeah. You just wear base layer.
The underwear is Bauer.
Part of the hockey equipment.
No, I don't wear Bauer.
CCM could have come up with a better hat for you.
That's their style. It's supposed to look like
it's never been ragged out.
White, but look at that white mesh. It's like, look at the it's DNA. Like brown.
There is a lot of DNA. This looks like it was in the OJ trial. they found this next to the bloody footprint.
Very nice. Time of the Fanatics, 9:24.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
9 o'clock hour brought to you by the Baxter Dumpster in the Bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. Don't forget about Gritty's 5K run. If you want to run with Gritty in the 5K, the race is Sunday at 8 a.m. at the Wells Fargo Center. That's 8 o'clock at the Wells Fargo Center on Sunday morning. Website for registration information on the Gritty 5K is philadelphiaflyers.com/Gritty5K. Your complimentary coupon code is the Fanatic 2019. That's the Fanatic 2019 for the Gritty 5K race. It's driven by AAA and benefits Flyers Charities. 975thefanatic.com. We'll also, 975 The Fanatic will be there on site to go. So go there to philadelphiaflyers.com/Gritty5K. I did get grittified last night. I'm tweeting out the picture currently, Natalie.
Oh, yeah. I want to see it.
As the fashionista in the room.
Sure.
We're going to need you to take a look at it real quick.
But okay.
More importantly, there's somebody in hot water right now, Mike, with the Philadelphia Eagles, and that's Sidney Jones. And it has nothing to do with criticism of his skill or anything like that. His own head coach, more or less, came out. I don't know if you heard the comment yesterday.
Yeah.
But he came out and said that Sidney Jones needs to push through injury.
Yeah.
We played it earlier. Trey Thomas, former Eagle himself, even pointed out the fact that this was the closest it comes to a coach throwing a player under the bus.
Oh, he ain't not throwing him on the bus, but just telling him to suck it up.
That's pretty much what it sounded like.
Yeah. I got that same impression. We had Tim McManus on yesterday that covers the team. He said he did not get that impression.
Really?
Yeah, that he was trying to put him out there like that.
But what was he sending a message? What, anything?
He said he was just trying to say that he needs to... he wasn't challenging him to perform. He was saying he needs to be mindful of his. I don't know what he was saying, but McManus. I got the same impression you guys got.
Yeah,
but McManus said he didn't when the words came out of Peterson's mouth. He did not get that impression that he was trying to do that. But you know, Trey, they do little things like that. Peterson hadn't had that reputation before.
No.
But all coaches want guys to play. They want them to suck it up.
Mm-hmm. But I think the problem that's with Sidney Jones is that every time he gets beat, he comes up hurt.
So they're injuries of embarrassment.
Yeah. So it's more feelings than actual, you know.
Yeah.
And it's always like a hamstring or something that you can't really, you know.
A pulled hammy and a bruised ego.
I mean,
what do players think about that kind of thing? Like, are players whispering behind guys' backs about guys that seem to not want to push through injury?
Oh, absolutely. If you see something like that, I think that's something that everybody, there you go again. You know, look at him. He just got beat, and there's a guy running for a touchdown. He's in chase mode. And, oh, yeah, his hamstring is blown again.
And his timing's good. I mean, you got Maddox coming back. You got Darby coming back. You got Mills coming back. So why not challenge him now? If he doesn't meet the challenge, gone.
Trey, let me ask you this question. I will take it back to Kapler. Because one of the things that really bothers me about Kapler is that the constant BS after games. Oh, we're going to fight, and we're going to carry through and fight, and guys are fighting, and all that kind of crap. And when the players look at that cynically, like, come on, man.
I think that the players are looking at it, especially if they know that they played a bad game. They're happy that he's not throwing anybody under the bus,
really?
That he's not calling anybody out.
It's so over-the-top phony. Yeah. See, baseball players are different than football players. Baseball players, they know that it's just about them.
Like, the coach has nothing to do with their performance.
Yeah.
Football is different. Basketball is different. Baseball, it's like the manager has nothing to do with me stepping in a box trying to hit 98 miles an hour.
Mm.
Right? So when they hear crap like that, they roll their eyes. Baseball players have it easiest of any professional athlete. So they roll their eyes and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Like when he brought out the curveball machine.
Yeah.
That's like if Andy Reid brought out some robot that rushed the passer.
Mm-hmm.
You guys would roll your eyes, right?
Mm.
And go, man, that's desperate.
I don't know, man. You know, because now I looked at it as he's trying to get his guys to get a little bit better. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And if you're struggling with the curveball, then why not get a little extra work
on
it?
Your take on it was whatever it takes,
whatever
coach.
Whatever it takes. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But that's always been my thing. You know,
but like, I agree, Mike.
That's football.
But baseball players look at that like they haven't hit off a curveball machine. In Legion baseball.
Yeah.
Right? A curveball machine is not going to help a major league player hit a curveball. So they all go, oh, man, this.
You're talking to somebody dude. That did pass sets against Reno Mahe. Now, what did that do for me?
Nothing.
But yeah, it helps me with the speed and spin move.
Mm-hmm.
You Michael, know what I'm saying? Michael, you never had a hitting coach to help you?
Hey, Sal, how you doing, man?
By the way, Sal Palatonio just strutted in studio. Sal, I didn't even know you were stopping by the morning show.
It's at the anniversary.
I'm so thrilled to have you in here, my man.
It's fantastic.
This is
congratulations to this radio station. It's awesome.
It's great
to be part of it for 10 years.
10 years on the FM band for 97.5, the Fanatic, Philadelphia's first sports FM station. Not too bad. Now, we've been talking about Sidney Jones. And whether or not Doug Peterson, with what he said yesterday about Sidney having to push through injury, was a bit of a, attention grabber for the young corner.
Sure.
Hey, a little bit of a challenge, maybe, at least, to push through injury. Because everybody in that locker room has got to fight through some kind of injury throughout the season. And now in a game where you face Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, and a guy like Kirk Cousins, who's 5-3 against the Eagles in his career, and won last year, granted a lot of turnovers by the Eagles, but won last year here in Philadelphia. They're going to be challenged by these corners in this game.
No, you never had a hitting coach to help you out?
I went into major leagues, and they threw out a curveball machine. Because that has nothing to do with a major league pitcher, you know?
There's been great hitting coaches that have helped players hit.
Mechanically.
Yeah, sure.
Well, they look at film, and they see a flaw, but they don't throw a curveball machine at them.
No, but they do help them a little bit.
They don't help them at all.
No
machine helps a major league player.
Coach helps you. You know, you look at the film.
Yeah, I'm talking about the machine. Talk about the machine, man. You can bring a machine out.
Bryce Harper laughed at him.
Yeah, he said, those guys can do that.
Yeah,
I'm not.
I'm just trying to think of the best way to answer this.
So, you get the Sidney Jones, right? I mean, I'm sure that if you press Doug Peterson a little bit about it, he'll walk the cat back just a little bit, right? He'll say, yeah. But he put it out there. But the bottom line is, if you're dealing with a corner, and that specific one who's had injury right out of college, right out of the gate, there's no amount of pushing the guy that's going to make a difference. It's either his hamstring is healed or it's not. His Achilles tendon is healed or not. So it's not going to really make a difference one way or the other. When you're playing a shifty guy like Adam Thielen, who runs a lot of option routes, I mean... And I talked about this on your show on Tuesday. The Eagles need a guy in the middle of the field on offense who can run option routes, what we call jerk routes, make the linebacker look like a jerk. So they need that guy. And Thielen will make you look like a jerk, whether or not you've got a great hamstring or not. But I think he put it out there. I think if you asked him, he'll probably walk it back a little bit. And I don't think he was sending a message to anybody specifically about it. I mean, I think the kids that... This, Schwartz talked about it in training camp, right? This is an important training camp for Sidney Jones. This is an important year for Sidney Jones.
Well, it's a great, obviously, task. It's a great task he has at hand here to face a team like the Minnesota Vikings. And then on top of it, he's got other guys like Jalen Mills that are going to be getting even more healthy as the season goes on. So we're talking about a guy as to whether or not he has reached his potential or will reach his potential as an NFL player. Injuries have certainly hindered that. He hasn't been great when he has had the playing time either. So now, I mean, really, this is a tall order for him to not only be on the field and play healthy, but also play well against these wide receivers, that quarterback, and then have to do it again the next week against the Cowboys.
Tick tock. Time is running out on his career. There's no question about it.
Wow.
And the thing, though, when we were in training camp, everybody was talking about, raving about how Sidney Jones was balling all through training camp. But then you get in live fire,
And it's not the same production.
No, not even a little bit. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We got one more segment left here on the morning show's portion of Fanatic All-Star Day, celebrating 10 years on the FM band, Philadelphia's first FM sports station. Sal, are you sticking around a little bit?
Oh, yeah, I'm not going
to. Awesome. All right, so we'll talk to you again in a minute here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All-Star Day here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll. Sam Wilson, what do you have?
This morning we asked, are you confident Sidney Jones will ever reach his full potential? We had just under 2,700 votes today. 89% said no.
Doubting. And I get it. Now, let's talk about a positive thing,
when
though.
The public's over 80%, fade the public.
A little bit. But let's just talk about something here, because there's something wonderful that's about to happen. And Sal Palantonio, who's in studio with us right now, I believe is making a very charitable, very big charitable donation to the Natalie Agonoff TV Fund. Is this true, Sal?
Yep, Ty's going to come to my house and pick up a nice nice flat-screen television for Natalie.
Natalie, we have seen your television. I was actually making fun of you
now,
for your TV.
Why do you need a TV, Natalie?
I don't.
Oh, she's getting on. I'm going to translate. She doesn't need a TV.
She does.
It's a size thing.
I don't need one. My TV is perfectly fine. It works well. It's 32 inches. I decided to. What happened was I decided to tell Mike the other day that I was watching this TV show and I said that sounds a little funky. So then Ty goes, well, that's because she doesn't have a real TV. So
I was listening.
Yeah. So they were both.
I was listening.
They were both appalled by my television and told me that it's a necessity. When in my world, I'd rather buy clothes.
I could see that.
It's very simple.
Like an art spot.
In this day and age, it's like really like odd. It's just odd in this day and age. If this wasn't 2019, it wouldn't be as odd.
But
they give away big screens on the corner.
Yeah.
It's a fine size. It really is.
Well, how often do you actually just sit at home and watch TV?
Never.
It's disrespectful. What? She doesn't have visitors? Visitors want to come over. Suppose they want to watch a game.
You were about to say it's disrespectful to the
visitors.
It is.
Can I tell you what I did?
Open your home to people.
I got home last night, stopped at the food store about 7:30, decided that I'm going to make a nice soup because it was chilly and raining out. So I had the soup on the stove. I was listening to some music. I had the Flyers game on my television. I'm checking in on the score and everything. Fine. Got the job done.
She sends me a...
Did you even see the puck on that TV?
Yes!
I don't believe you.
Yeah.
No.
You sent me an image last night.
I did.
A picture of you taking a diagonal measurement of your TV.
Yes, 32 inches.
The tape measure started at 8 inches, not 0.
That is not true. I sent you the whole thing. It's a
24-inch TV.
It is not.
Matt, is it bigger than this screen right here?
Yes! It's 32 Barely? Inches.
You still have the tape measure on you? We'll measure it off here.
No, I'm telling you, it's a fine size. But Sal has generously offered, but he said I need a truck because that's how big it is. So Ty has a truck.
Wait, how old is this TV, Sal?
It's a flat screen, right?
Yeah, it's flat screen
TV. Okay.
Yeah. It's not going to fit in my car, my go-kart.
That's a good point.
Is that modern flat screen or is it like one of those heavy ones?
No, big.
Oh, big flat screen.
So look.
Is it thin? Is it thin or thick?
Thin.
You can throw that in the back of any car.
You don't sound very convincing about this thinness.
Is your TV spelt? That's what we're asking. Is it Joel Embiid this year or Joel Embiid last year?
Sam's. It's a nice Samsung.
I have a feeling it's like one of these deals you go, hon, we got to get rid of this TV. It's too thick. And then you're pawning off on that.
You think I'll know the difference?
You live on the first floor?
Well, it's the mounting. See, the mounting is the...
It'll sit right on one of those...
I'm just going to sit it on the entertainment center.
You don't want to put it on the wall.
Because I rent.
It's like wall art.
I rent. I could. We'll see. We'll see.
Either way,
one step at a time.
Sal,
you always want the TV to be eye level. You don't want it to be up like this.
Right.
And that's how it is in my house.
No, you have to look down. That's not eye level.
That's not true.
Sal, as a good friend of Natalie, I will say to you right now, thank you for the charitable contribution to the Natalie Agonoff TV fund.
I can't. It's
eye level for Peter Dinklage.
I'm only doing this for Mike and Tyrone.
A week from today, you're going to say, I don't know how I watch that old TV.
We'll see.
You will. Trust me.
Wait, Mike, were you a Game of Thrones guy?
I actually was not, but I caught up on it.
Okay.
Because people, so many people were talking about it that I binged it.
There you go.
So I know, but Mike had
so many questions about it.
Early on, how do they sharpen
the swords?
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me early on, but I hung with it.
How do they get their Starbucks?
Yeah, right?
I drink and I know things. All right. So, Sal, are you feeling a win on Sunday? Can I ask you this now?
I am feeling a win. I think this has become a very good road team, and I think they match up well against the Vikings. I think they got a win in them for sure in this game.
Maybe feel a little better.
You know, the Eagles are one of these teams now that have developed, I think, a really good sense of definition offensively. And if they can just catch the football, they're going to be pretty good. I do.
Is Rasul Douglas a legit corner?
You know, he's not fast enough to put in isolation. You know, the league has really transformed itself into a man-to-man defense. You look at all the defenses out there that are successful. It's all man-to-man. Matt Patricia's running man-to-man in Detroit. Bill Belichick is running man-to-man. Saints are running man-to-man. And you got to have corners that can cover. And the reason is because the ball's coming out so fast.
Exactly.
The ball's coming out so fast, Trey.
Yeah. So you got to play man-to-man.
Trey, you could have been a left tackle until you were 85 years old. You don't have to hold it for 3.5 seconds anymore. It's down to 2.5, 2.4, 2.3. I mean, seriously, did you ever see that when you were there?
No, not when Fire was back there.
No, I
don't care how many hits you see take.
Yeah.
Number five will always love.
We'll talk to him on Monday again. Now, before we get
into the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, November 7th.
Yeah,
I'll be
there. That's a big day.
Yeah.
Susie Colber, too.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Before we to get our takeaways of the day in here,
We love it. I think it's incredible.
It's the 10-year anniversary, so that's why we have All-Star Day in here. Natalie's here. Ty was in here. Pretty much everybody. Jason Martinez, obviously. Mike, you're in here now. And 10 years of the Fanatic being on the FM band, Philadelphia's first sports FM station. I have only been here 1 year, but Mike, you have done yeoman's work here at this radio station. And I can't tell you how much we appreciate the hard work you've put in here for 10 years at 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's hard to believe
FM.
In 10 years.
Flew by.
I remember the first day. And people were taking bets on how long I'd last.
Oh,
yeah, like 6 months was the over-under.
He's the godfather.
There you go.
He is.
Absolutely.
Right, so we were given a month as a show, Mike, so we're right there with you.
You guys will be off by Christmas. That was one of my favorite tweets that I would see on the reg when we just started out. So, ha! A year. Deal with it.
Thank you, 97.5.
All right, let's jump into our takeaways of the day, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Wilson, as you always do, start us off, please. What's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is a happy 10th anniversary to the Fanatic. And also, I've only been here a year and a half, but I just wanted to thank Mikey Miss because he's on the show with us, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. So thanks, Mike.
Well, here's the story. Sam had emailed me a long time ago. Say, how
my
old
freshman
were you?
Year of college. It was my very first college assignment.
And her, 4 years ago.
Email says, I'm the next Erin Andrews.
I was copying.
She was like, over time, I go, this girl's very aggressive. So maybe she has a future in this business. And lo and behold, here she is.
Boom.
As an employee of 97.5 The Fanatic.
Right there. And she wanted to make sure we had orange juice here, but Natalie made sure we had orange juice here.
I was given false information. Natalie came in.
I had it.
Natalie, I'll go to you next. What's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is I'm just thankful that to be on this station, you know, I've been here for 3 years now, and it's been such a fun time, and it just keeps getting better. I just came up with that right now.
I sprung it on you. Jamie Lynch, take away that.
Just thanks to everybody out there that supports us here at the station. I've been here about 4.5 years. I'm happy to walk in the doors every day. This place is awesome. And we're nothing without the listeners. So thank you.
I'd second that. Everywhere I go, people say, Sal Pal, I heard you on Mikey Miss at 5:15 on Tuesday. And I'll tell you, more than anything else, more than ESPN, Philadelphia Inquirer, the identity that I have with this station because of my run on his show is amazing. People love to listen to sports talk radio on this station because of people
behind the mic like Mike Missanelli.
Absolutely.
Oh, here, here.
Sal. That's so nice. Thank you. Thanks.
Cheers.
We'll get a glass now. Like, all right. Open up one more. Bob Cooney.
Congratulations to everybody who's been here long before I have. Mike setting the way for us all and everybody that does everything here. It's a lot of fun, and let's keep it up for at least 30 more.
Trey
let's
Thomas.
Who would have thought this would be what I would be doing? But I enjoy it, man. Thank you, guys. This has been awesome.
What's weirder, this or you helping me move my kitchen table into my house?
That's well, just hearing about your cousin being a freak.
All right. All right.
That was all the pay you needed.
Come on. And I already gave my takeaway. It was to Mike Missanelli and my thanks. So, Mike, I'll give you the last word here. What is your takeaway of the day?
It's definitely the people that listen to the station, because I've been at other stations, and there is not as much of a connection to other stations that we found here. The people really like being part of the whole thing here. I mean, that's, you can see FanFest kind of like really crystallizes that whole thing where you see all those people and they feel like they're part of it. You don't want radio to be a separation from a fan base. I think we've crossed over and blurred that line with the fans. That reason, I was working in New York when I came back here. I came back here for one reason, which was to knock that bearded freak off the air. And I did that one year, so everything is gravy for me. It doesn't matter. I did what I accomplished.
Next you go to the Dominican, you find us somewhere.
And I'll go into the Dominican to find Acuna. My
thanks to, of course, Trey, Bob, Jamie, Mike Missanelli, Sal Palantonio, Natalie Aganoff, Andrew Salchunas, Rob Motti, Joe Stazak as well, Tyrone Johnson. Stay tuned for the rest of the day, All-Star Day here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.